Journal, excited you're all jumping on board today with us. We're even more excited because Dan Lyman's still with us. Dan, I kind of applied a little bit of pressure and I tried talking as fast as I can, but I always trip on my words when I do just that. But you were reacting to the exclusive comment we just got back from the DOJ regarding those missing migrant children and prosecuting the animals that smuggled them into this country. I wanted to hear the rest of your report, so I'll give you the floor.
Well, I was just tying it to something, some things that we've already talked about today, some things I saw right before we went live, and a story that I've seen that has resurfaced in the last few days because two of the suspects have since been indicted. They were being investigated previously, but we covered it a couple of months ago at InfoWars and at BorderHawk, and it was a 12-year-old girl who is now 12 or 13 who had been smuggled into the country, presumably as a UAC, or as part of a family unit, quote unquote. Some of these smugglers come across with very young children and claim to be family members when they're not at all. And she was brought into the country as a baby, as a one-year-old, I believe, and transferred or given over to the custody of a sponsor who I believe was like a distant uncle. And so while she lived with this uncle for years, she was sexually abused, raped by him, and also apparently one of his friends or many of his friends. At least two people were arrested on that side of things, I believe, in the Houston area. So she spent years in just absolute hell and then was either kidnapped or taken away or transferred over to these two women who were just indicted in the last week or two, who then forced her to perform slave labor around their house and made her sleep on the floor and chained her to chairs and refused, you know, to feed her properly. And so this girl endured the first 12 years of her life like that at the hands of family members and quote unquote friends. And she finally escaped one day and managed to, you know, to alert somebody. And she was bruised up. She had lacerations. She was severely malnourished. And so anyways, that's one of these children who just disappeared into the country in the last 10, 12 years. And I'm sure there are many cases like that. And to me, the trafficking of the children and just what has become of them and within our own borders that just allowed to just disappear and hand it over to these predators. It really is the most heartbreaking aspect of the entire open borders crisis and illegal immigration and human trafficking is what is happening to these children. And like I said, I'm sure this girl's story is just one of many that are very similar to it. It's very sad.
Yeah, no, it's very, very sad. And Dan, it's so crazy that we're in this situation right now. Again, this was all imposed on us by the Biden regime. And again, DOJ, no arrests there either. I mean, these people belong in prison who participated in the largest human trafficking scandal we've seen in this country's history. And it's just so frustrating.
The largest human trafficking operation in world history. I mean, this is just the biggest. When you're talking 20 million people coming into the country, a large number of them trafficked. And then, of course, the children, the largest sex trafficking operation in world history, the largest child trafficking operation in world history. The Biden regime oversaw that. Mm-hmm. And of course, it's been going on for much longer. This was happening during the Trump years as well. If you recall, there was a huge spike at the border during the Trump years, about halfway through his first term. And a lot of them were unaccompanied minors. And the previous DHS head there was saying that these kids get trafficked across the border to enable the adults that are with them who claim to be family members to come into the country. The kids then get trafficked back across the border and reused to enable more adults to come into the country. Absolute horror show. And in many cases, we've seen a lot of videos that actually got censored by social media platforms involving children who were clearly drugged and abused, who were being brought to the border. Yep, just this one right here. Yeah. And used by adults to get into the country. And we can't even imagine the horrors that they went through getting shuttled back and forth and the crimes that were committed against them. It is absolutely heartbreaking. We paid for all of it. We were forced to pay for this. American taxpayers.
Yeah.
It is unconscionable. It's totally demonic. And the fact that people aren't getting incarcerated, tried and executed for these crimes is a tragedy in and of itself and an outrage.
Yeah. Dan Lyman, I'm on board with that. Anyone who hurts children, anyone who uses children, I don't even know the numbers of how many of these children were actually stolen from their biological parents and then used to get into the country. I can only imagine what those numbers are. But again, these people were coming from third world countries. So I can only imagine what was going on behind the scenes. Dan Lyman, thank you for all the incredible work you do on InfoWars.com and over at BorderHawk News. We appreciate it. And thank you for this little overtime news update as well. We greatly appreciate you, Dan Lyman. So thank you for jumping on. Folks, we're taking your calls in just a moment.
Thanks for all your support. Today and tomorrow are the last days to get 100 times X entries into the amazing raffle, where both of the offerings of the Shelby Mustang and the awesome Ford off-road truck, when you get 100X for every dollar you spend on the store, put into the raffle, you get put in for just the next 2 days, just all that's left, to get both vehicles. That ends tomorrow. Every order in the site for a very limited time is this hat. And this is a classic design that I put out on InfoWars like 20 years ago. And it's a ring of, 13 stars around 1776. It's simple, it's clean, and it's just exciting, and it spreads the word. So every order, on top of the sales that are already there, for a limited time, gets a free 1776 ball cap at thealexjonesstore.com.
You're tuned in to the American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello.
Welcome back to American Journal Work Study. You're all here today. All right, we're taking some calls. And then later in this hour, we'll be talking to my girl, Mel Kay. She'll be joining the show. A lot to sound off on in regards to the Epstein files. But let's start working our way back down the caller list. We got Rex in Colorado. Rex, what's on your mind?
Hey, Brianna, thanks. My first time calling in.
Oh, well, welcome to the show. It's exciting to have you on.
Right on. Thank you. You're awesome. I want to talk about the Board of Peace yesterday. Mm-hmm. Trump and Jared Kushner and, I think it was 20 of them met and set up the New Gaza Project and the Abrahamic Gateway and the ISF, which is the International Stabilization Force. I'm a Christian. I'm a conservative. I voted for Trump 3 times. And I don't know. I just feel like this is really sketchy with everything going on with all the Epstein stuff. You know, it feels like a bad horror movie.
Yeah.
And I feel like they're lying to us. Everyone knows it. They obviously blackmailed all our leaders, and they have the Noah Hyde laws. I'm not trying to get into all that, you know, but that stuff's scary to people like me that feel like we were completely lied to. And I don't know. I just feel like we should be talking about it. No one's even covering or talking about what happened yesterday. And to me, it's like, did we just see the covenant with many from the Antichrist, who is the charismatic businessman that rises in the end times, lead the Roman revived republic, becomes the chairman of the Board of Peace, and establishes this beast system, and Israel marvels after him. Nobody can make war with him. And it's like, we're in the end times, guys. That's how I feel. And that's really what I wanted to say.
Yeah. Well, Rex, you're not alone. I actually posted about this yesterday on X because I was fired up when I saw this, mainly because I saw the president's commitment to, take our money, I guess that's where it's coming from. But there's really no specifics on it as of yet. But apparently we're going to be putting in about $10 billion into all of that. And so yesterday I was fired up when I saw, but again, it's like, I can't handle the pile up of L's that I'm taking up these days. You know, the glyphosate thing kind of sent me over the cliff yesterday, but then you saw this and you're watching this and you're just going, wait a minute, hold on. We're pouring billions and billions of dollars into rebuilding Gaza as if we had any role in any of that. It was Israel, obviously. But what about rebuilding American communities? I mean, $10 billion would be life-changing for so many Americans. Yeah, Rex, what were you to say there?
It's just a joke. They obviously don't care about the people. It's class warfare. It's like, you know, people like me, just regular, you know, 30-something-year-old dudes born in Texas, mm-hmm. are just completely tossed to the side for literally anyone else. Mm-hmm. And they don't represent our country. They represent themselves, the upper echelon elite, and possibly a foreign country. And it's not right. Not right at all.
Yeah, well, and you know, it's suspicious when you see the breakdown, right? Because you see Jared Kushner up there, and we were told that Jared Kushner was going to have really no role in any of the political side of all of this because he had no interest. And now here we are. So I don't want to sit here and pretend like, oh, thank you, Jared, for help. It sounds good. It sounds like Board of Peace, maybe an alternative for the UN. We like that. But then when you see this,
I'm sorry to cut you off. It is UN control. So at the end of 2027, as far as my understanding, they are going to transition it to the UN.
Yeah, but there was a lot of people that didn't want to jump on board. By people, I mean countries, because they thought that this was going to replace it. I think it was the Vatican that said that they didn't want to do this because They were afraid that this was going to try to replace the UN, or it was a challenge to the UN. So I think there's a lot of questions there, but I was fired up again about this. It's like a pile up of just L's that we're all taking left and right. And so I'm with you on this. I don't see the benefit to this at all. And again, this is our taxpayer money potentially going to be going. I can't imagine anyone else's money being poured into this, being shifted over there. I mean, Gaza is never going to be a luxurious vacation front. And this is why so many people were critical about Israel's response in all of this, because Israel completely depleted the area and they used the justification of the terror attack of October 7th. And again, when October 7th happened, I was like, hey, you have to respond to that. That was my initial reaction. You can't just let that happen to your people. But then you see the reports that Israel knew that this was going to happen. In fact, Egypt saying that they gave them intel, and then our own government confirming that, yes, Israel did receive intel from Egypt saying that this was going to happen. And it's really hard to wrap my mind around the fact that Israel, which obviously has a very top-notch military response, and we all know that their 18-year-olds, their 19-year-olds walk around with their AKs attached to them. It's really hard for me to understand how this happened, right? Because these guys like had their like homemade propeller planes that they came in here on, not even planes, but they came in here on those. And I mean, nobody detected this. The whole story itself is strange. We never got a straight answer on it. And again, you have to respond to a terror attack. What Hamas did was absolutely egregious. But if there was a lack of response and Israel knew about this in advance, then we have every right to be critical about this. But my frustration is that, you know, Israel responded to it, and I understand why they responded to it. Again, I'm kind of neutral in the subject matter, honestly, between both Israel and how everyone else feels about it with the Middle East. And I usually stay out of that one. But this one has me fired up because it's not our responsibility as American taxpayers to not only pay for Israel to go out there and to get the weapons to do what they did to Gaza, but now we have to pay to reconstruct Gaza. It's absolute garbage. It's a money laundering scheme. And I've just had enough of it. I truly have. Rex, thanks for calling. It's another issue that I'm fired up on this beautiful Friday morning. I don't know. I don't know where we are really as a country right now. And it's really frustrating that this is what's going on. But we're here. We're here. Rex, thanks for doing that. I appreciate it. Let's turn to Tim in Seattle, who's calling back in this week. Tim, welcome back to the show.
Good morning, Brianna. Good morning, America. How you guys doing? I just wanted to point out that I don't think our voices are being heard at all. I don't think that the algorithm is conveying the messages that we're putting out to the world. So maybe we should start calling the White House, 202-456-1111. I mean, if anything, Alex should be bullhorning Trump right now. I mean, it's gone sideways, and we have to admit it, and then we have to make the necessary steps to make it better. But if we're just going to put our heads in the sand and say that this is MAGA, then I think the pedophile vampire class had it right to begin with, and we are their slaves. And we should just, you know, commit seppuku politically and just, you know, run up white flags, or actually act like Americans and stand up and fight for the future, because we are now in the battle of good versus evil. Thank you very much, Brianna.
Thank you, Tim. You know, Tim, I hear when you call, Susie Wiles picks up directly, and then she puts you on hold and then never gets the call. No, that's a bad joke. But no, I mean, Tim, yeah, I'm on board with it. I mean, Alex has been sounding off on it. I'm infuriated. I want to be a little optimistic, right? Because, you know, a lot of these people, and there have been incredible people who watch this show, who watch InfoWars, who made their way into the administration, and they're just exhausted. I mean, they're trying their best, but they're up against the machine. They're outnumbered. There's billions of dollars, obviously, involved in a lot of this, too. When we talk about glyphosate, that's just the beginning of the lobbying money that's being poured in right now. It's a continuous beatdown for these folks. I talk to them quite often. They are patriots. They love this country. In fact, they will often watch and they'll shoot me messages about what we're talking about, if we're on the ball or not. And so... There are some great, incredible people out there, and I want to remind our audience of that. Although I'm fired up this morning, there are some great Americans who are working right now in this administration who are trying their best to combat all of this. And it's a battle on all fronts. It's a battle on all fronts. But just know for folks at home that there are still some brave individuals on the line right now trying their very best to fight back, to push back, and to help make sure that the MAGA agenda, which we were promised during the campaign, is fulfilled. And so we hope that they could go in this battle. But again, I mean, they give us little snippets. They give me little snippets, and we try to tell you all on air what's going on behind the scenes. But they are in this battle, and we are very thankful for just that. And I wanted to make sure that I sounded thankful for them after, you know, I kind of just went a little rant. So Tim Seattle, thank you for calling. As always, we appreciate it. Let us turn to Mike in Georgia. Mike, thanks for holding. What's on your mind?
Hey, Brianna. Hey, listeners, get the Shilajit. That stuff works well. I'm a retired Marine, and after all those years of running around with all that gear on, you kind of feel it as they get a little bit older. But anyways, the as far as the Iran situation, one thing that we have to remember, and I've got a lot of experience in that part of the world, is that we don't have to be at war with an enemy for them to be at war with us. And that's the case with Iran right now. This is much, much older than just even back to 79. Thomas Jefferson knew that Islam was incompatible with the United States of America. He knew if we bent the knee to these people, they would just ask for more and more and more. We were fighting Islam long before the current state of Israel ever existed. So now, as far as that goes, the war is a war, quote unquote, a war with Iran is inevitable, and it's probably already happening right now. All this buildup wouldn't be necessary if we had carried through with our strategy during the GWAT, which was position forces in Iraq, Afghanistan. We already had forces in Turkey, and we had forces in the Persian Gulf. All we had to do at that point was sit down with Iran, who is the problem there, even behind 9/11. They're the money people. They're the head of the snake. And we say, look around you. We would not be in this situation right now. Having said all that, the fact of the matter is we're going to fight this battle with Iran with our technology. You won't be seeing large-scale military forces inside Iran. It's just not feasible. So we're going to use the technology. It'll be very similar to what you saw in Venezuela, except even more advanced than that. Now, transitioning to all the other topics today. All of this that you're seeing right now between, if you want to call them Republicans and Democrats, left and right, is a battle for this technology. This advanced technology that has been perfected over the last, say, 10 years or so. I was witness to some of it while I was in the military and didn't realize at the time what it was. But now as we get into some of these operations, I'm seeing this is the utilization of that technology on the battlefield, whereas we couldn't use it at the time. We tested it a couple of times, but the communication between branches wasn't sufficient so we could employ it on the battlefield because it could actually cause damage to our own forces. But that's what you're seeing right now. So this battle that's going on is for control of that technology. Now we get down to like Epstein and all of this craziness going on. Mm-hmm. It is true. It is happening. It has been happening. And that, too, is blackmail manipulation by the intelligence agencies. And I'm not saying just Mossad. Mm-hmm. After Israel was established as a state, it was originally established to give a foothold in that region to Western forces. It has morphed into a vassal state to where these intelligence agencies are interconnected. They're not separate. You can't go and say, okay, US CIA or MI6 or Mossad. They're the same thing. It's all the same thing. So when people are looking and complaining, they have to look in the mirror. We are financing this. Now, how do you solve it? There are many different ways to address this issue from our perspective as citizens of the United States, but every single one of them involves scarcity. Now, to bring this all to a head, what are you willing to give up? I'm going to play the devil's advocate here. What are you, as an American citizen, willing to give up? Where do you draw the line? Do you draw it on children of any kind from any part of the world being victimized? Because that's where I draw my line.
Yeah.
And so if they want an enemy, then that's what we have to do. We have to. And the only way to do it is to say, I'm willing to give up X, Y, and Z. What are you willing to give up? Are you willing to give up your children's future? Because I'm telling you, the response is scarcity, period, end of story. And if you're not willing to, you better start doing some soul search in America. Because if you're not willing to live in scarcity, you're not prepared for the fight in front of you. It ain't about going into the streets. You saw what happened in Minnesota. Those people, they ran off the federal government for all intents and purposes. And the strategy there is, yeah, suffer through it. You deal with it. And that's what we need to do as people. We need to set states like Minnesota. You want to live like this? Go live like this. We're not funding it. Yeah. Let them suffer through it. And that's the only way, Brianna. And I'm going to tell you, you can have all these lofty ideas of what we need to do, and this politician's going to do, and that politician's going to do. They're not going to do anything because they can't do anything. No. They can't. It's too big. It's too intertwined. It's too connected. The only way you can do it is stop. No more funding. You know, how do you do that? Ask yourselves that question, listeners. How would I stop them from doing what they're doing? What happens when everybody complains when the government shut down, right? Because people don't get funding. Well, you guess what you do? You stop the funding. Now, I'll leave that up to the individual citizen to figure out what the best way to do that is. But if you don't do it collectively, we are done. Yeah. Thank you, Brianna. I appreciate the time.
No, Mike, well, thank you for calling in, and thank you for your service. We appreciate it. No, you're 1,000% correct. And the line should be pedophilia. The line should be those demonic souls who decide to torture children for their personal pleasure. That is my line, and that will always be my line. And everyone who, you know, who isn't doing anything on this or is refusing to do anything, like, we're not giving up on that. We're not giving up on that. Thank you for that, Mike. We greatly appreciate it. Folks, I want to make sure you saw this, by the way, because I know I teased it at the beginning of the show in regards to Tom Fitton. Tom Fitton's giving us an update about a lawsuit that's currently ongoing, and he claims that this is, by the way, through Judicial Watch, I should say. They do an incredible job at things like this. But Judicial Watch sued to find out how much the deep state operatives over in the Biden regime and their FBI were paying Twitter to censor and spy on Americans. So he sued for that. Well, according to Tom Fitton, Kash Patel, who's obviously the FBI director, and AJ Pam Bondi's Justice Department, told a federal court that we shouldn't get a summary quarterly totals of payments because it might expose FBI law enforcement secrets. Now, unfortunately, on that case, which is strange, it's Judge Boasberg who agreed and told us we could. Oh, sorry, that they agreed with the feds, of course, he's a deep state operative. And told us we can't have the info. So they tell you it's a new administration running the DOJ and FBI and the FBI 2.0. But sorry, I can't show you that. Can't tell you where your money's actually going to in regards to the efforts to censor Americans. Judicial Watch doing an incredible job at still holding this administration accountable, and they don't care about loss of access. So they do great work, and we are very honored for just that. All right, let's go to Fizzy right now, who's on hold. Fizzy, you want to talk about Epstein's last phone call? Welcome to the show.
Hey, good morning. How are we doing today?
Good. How are you?
Oh, not too bad. Not too bad. Sorry, I'm going to try and get to a little quieter area. I wanted to talk about the phone call. The DOJ probably does not have a record of that. I think they contract those services out, so it's likely they don't have a record.
Yeah, well, so you're referring to, and for our folks at home right now who are not right in on this one, let me do that for you, because Fizzy's citing a FOIA request that I had submitted last year, and in that FOIA request, I asked the Bureau of Prisons, which is run under the DOJ, by the way, and Fizzy, I'll go back to you in a second, which is under the Bureau of Prisons, I specifically asked for the recording of Jeffrey Epstein's final phone call. This was the final phone call the night where he allegedly killed himself, according to authorities. And so I asked for that phone call specifically to find out what the tone of his voice was, whether he was optimistic, because according to the emails, he was apparently working on a plea agreement through his attorneys. And so I wanted to hear what he was all about to prove whether or not did he actually kill himself. Well, the Bureau of Prisons responded to me by saying they had no record of that call, but they do, in fact, Fizzy, record all phone calls. I know that there is private companies that are responsible for holding on to these recordings, and I do know that there is involvement there, so you're right. But they are supposed to record all the phone calls. There's no excuse that they've given us since the report came out regarding why that call was not recorded. Again, this is not something that's normal. Sometimes, yes, if it's an attorney they're speaking to due to, you know, client privilege, then yes, they would possibly not record the phone call. But he alleged that he was speaking to his mother, and so they don't know why that phone call wasn't recorded. Now, just keep in mind, too, this is reports, of course. His mother died 15 years prior, so he wasn't talking to his mother. Who I've been reporting to the media said that he was actually talking to his sister. But again, it doesn't make any sense. The DOJ hasn't come out and said why that call wasn't recorded, but it is supposed to be recorded all. And when you call a jail, because a lot of the J6ers, a lot of the people who are charged with crimes that I'm investigating, as soon as you get on the phone with them, it says this is a recorded line and it warns both sides that your call is recorded. So just a little bit of details there. Yeah, there's been no explanation, though, Fizzy, as to why they didn't record that call. I'll let you react, though, after I just gave the briefing.
No, I just thought it was possible that they might not actually have the recording if it's in the private company's hands. Now, I don't know if they could just demand it, you know, from a private entity, but, you know, it's just something I was thinking about when I heard you talk about it the other day.
Yeah.
There was one other thing I was curious about, wanted to get somebody else's take on. You know, if we're still paying the Taliban millions and millions of dollars a week, what's the potential they could be used as a ground force if we, you know, move ahead with an attack on Iran?
I'm not sure. I know it's being given as humanitarian aid. That's what they pretend it is. So I'm not 100% certain on that front. Not my level of expertise either, but I think it's interesting. The Taliban obviously shouldn't be funded. And I think it's being held up, that bill, by the way, which comes from Congressman Tim Burchett. That is a bill that's being held up. It passed, I believe, in the House. It's being held up in the Senate right now. Again, I don't think it makes any sense as to why we're still doing this. But we are being held hostage by the deep state operatives, and they are still very much in control, Fizzy. So no surprise there. I want to thank you for calling in, though. And thank you to everyone who's on hold right now. We have Mel Kay calling into the show as well, and we'll have her on in just a few moments. So I didn't want to leave her hanging, but we appreciate everyone that's called in. Of course, I try to go down the list of callers, and we can't get to everyone, of course, but we do our very, very best. So thank you for that. Folks, I want to give you a couple more stories that are maybe not so much in the headlines, but definitely worth your attention. Florida lawmakers have approved legislation to rename Palm Beach International Airport to President Donald Trump International Airport. Now, that passed 81-30 in the Senate, in the House. And then in the Senate, it was approved by 25-11. Now, this is going to have to go to the governor's desk. That is Governor Ron DeSantis. And also, it's going to require the FAA's approval as well. I would assume they'd make this a thing, of course, but that's where it's at right now. So Palm Beach International Airport might soon be Trump International. And I kind of like that. I kind of like that a lot. I'm not going to lie. I do love PBI as a former resident over there. It's one of the best airports, barely any lines over at TSA, and it's a breeze. So I do love that. All right, folks, we got more coming up in just a few moments. In the meantime, though, head on over to thealexjonesstore.com. Because we got a couple more hours left in that deal we're doing. Every single dollar you spend gets you about 100 times the entries. Not about it. It does get you 100 times the entries over at thealexjonesstore.com. And what are you entering? Well, you're entering to win potentially a Ford F-250 or a Ford Mustang. And then potentially $20,000 in cash. Who couldn't use $20,000 in cash plus two sick rides? You got to head on over right now, thealexjonesstore.com. And every time you make a purchase, we're going to enter you into this contest. Now, again, that offer is only going to last for a couple more hours. So you got to head on over to thealexjonesstore.com, and I won't shut up about it. But the energy shots are absolutely amazing. So you got to head on over to the shop right now and grab those today. Head on over to thealexjonesstore.com. Mel Kay's up next.
Harrison, I am so excited to talk to you. I want to plug the Irish Sea Moss. Was a big game changer for me. I was having a lot of like thermoregulation issues, like morning severe chills and cold in the morning. Hmm. All that stopped with the Sea Moss because it's a thyroid issue, and the Sea Moss has that iodine to heal your thyroid.
Isn't that amazing?
The Methylene Blue, life changing. I love it. I don't need caffeine anymore. It's amazing, but I'm trying to be quick.
It's all right. Hey, when you're plugging, we got all the time in the world.
I love his supplement formula. I am an acupuncturist. I have a master's degree in Chinese medicine, and he's got some really good formulas put together, and they work really well. I really appreciate it. I stopped taking all of my other stuff that I was taken, and I just take a lot of you guys' stuff. I mean, because I love you and I want to support everything you guys are doing, but the formulas are good. I love the greens powder. That I've tried every different type of greens powder out there, and nothing has had as much stuff, amazing stuff packed into it, as it has like a decent flavor to it. So the Optimal Human is like a daily staple.
It's good, right?
Absolutely, 100%. Yeah. And I'm not saying that because just for you guys, but seriously, I've tried so many greens powders over the years, and it really is the best.
And are we paying you, Katie? Did we pay you to call in?
I would love to work for you. I swear, Alex Jones Fisher is on like my mantle with all of my family pictures.
That's like, amazing.
We love Alex.
Some people call in and they go, oh, this person, you're paying them. But like, no, but our products really are good. People really like them. It's true.
Well, I accredited him to like the life-changing experience I had when I decided to leave California because I didn't want to bash Trump. And I listened to Jones when I found him. And I'm like, I got to get the hell out of here.
Right.
And so I moved back home to Ohio. And 3 months later, I met my husband. I feel like that life-changing event for me was because of listening to all the information that he gives. He's not like predicting the future. He's just giving you the information that's hard to find, where they're telling you what they're going to do.
Yeah, well, now you have a three-year-old kid, so your life's going great.
Yes.
I've said it before, but with a lot of these products, like, you really don't know what it's going to do for you because you might not know that you're lacking a vitamin or lacking a mineral. And it like happens all the time with iodine. Iodine is one of those things where like, as soon as you start taking it, you're like, oh, I'm not supposed to, and I'm not a doctor, this is not a medical claim, but people experience this. I've heard it from my friends where they're like, I'm not supposed to be tired all the time. I apparently just was lacking iodine. And it's like, you don't know if you're going to feel more energetic, if you're going to sleep better, if you're not going to have chills anymore. It's like people sort of go around thinking that that's the way their body is, but it's like, no, you're missing a key component. You're missing a vitamin, you're missing a mineral, and you don't even realize until you start taking something from the Alex Jones store. So I completely understand that you start taking the Irish sea moss and suddenly something that you thought was just the way your body is. Nope, turns out you can fix it. You can fix these things. Again, I'm not making medical claims, but you can only find out for yourself what effects these things will have. TheAlexJonesStore.com. Thanks for the plug, Katie.
Whatever the future may hold, InfoWars will always live forever. The fight will continue. Be sure to follow us on X at RealAlexJones and at AJNLive. And now you can download the number one news app in the world. Go to AlexJonesApp.com and let the Democrat Deep State Party know that we will never be silenced.
Tuned in to the American Journal with your host, Brianna Morello. Watch it live right now at band.video.
Welcome back to the American Journal. We're excited you're all jumping on with us today. Mel Kay will be with us in just a little bit. I wanted to play a little throwback clip. I mean, obviously, there's a lot to be down about in regards to the Maha movement. And, you know, I want to remember how much of an incredible patriot that RFK Jr. actually is. And so I want to play clip 7 for you because it's him calling out Bill Gates and all the people trying to destroy this country and connecting the dots. Take a listen.
And the last one of these was in 2019 October. And it was hosted by Bill Gates, Mike Fauci, and Mike Evil Hayes. And interestingly, by George Gale, who is the head of the Chinese CDC in New York City. And any of you, I'm sure a lot of you, have gone and looked at this on YouTube. It's called Event 201. And the fourth simulation that day, the last one, is all about how do we use the pandemic as a pretense for clamping down for abridgments of freedom of speech, and particularly, how do you stop people from talking about a lab leak as the source of these viruses. Yeah. Now, this is October 2019. Nobody, none of us at that time had ever heard of COVID. We now know that COVID was almost certainly circulating by mid-September. On September 12th, the Chinese government kicked down the door of the Wuhan lab, brought in General Wei, which is a bioweapons expert from army, to run the lab and remove all the gain of function studies from their public-facing websites and all the genomic sequences from all the viruses. The Chinese government clearly knew that the virus was circulating in September, so a month later you have this. That same week, Bill Gates, who was overseeing this simulation, made a 1.1 million shares of BioNTech vaccine, which later became the Pfizer vaccine. He then sold that, almost all that stock, 87%. 2 years later, at a $242 million profit. And a week after that, he publicly announced the vaccine didn't work. Basically, he played a pump and dump skater. Because he was the guy who was on TV with his minion, Peter Hotez, who took $52 million from Gates for his institution. Gates made his institution. So you had the pair of them pumping up the stock for 2 years and then dumping it a week before he goes on TV and says, oh, it didn't work after all.
All right, so the good news, we know where all the bodies are buried. We have somebody who's in this position of power willing to speak about that. That was obviously prior, I believe, to him taking on that HHS position. And now what are we going to do about it? That's a key question in all of this. I want to get to clip five as well, because clip five, it was a good chuckle. I was listening in and Tucker Carlson was on a panel with Mark Cuban. And Mark Cuban, he's very empathetic. He's very empathetic to Ukraine and thinks we should be doing more. But when Mark Cuban is asked, well, what are you doing? Well, he doesn't really have an answer. Take a listen.
On whether we should be sending money to Ukraine or not. Were you in favor of that?
Man, they need it.
I mean, honestly, I don't have a good answer. You know, I can make an argument both ways. And half my family is Ukrainian from my grandparents. And so, you know, personally, I think we should help. But I don't have a studied answer for you.
How much money have you sent to Ukraine?
None.
Oh, so what do you mean by we? You're the one whose family's from Ukraine. Like, why don't you send them $1 billion?
Because I'm trying to fix health care.
Why don't you fix their health care if you're, like, so deep? If you think we need to help, why don't you start? How about you first? Yeah. I notice that's never, like, even an option for anybody. It's like, we need to help. That's not what charity is. Forcing other people to help is not charity.
Here's
it's
the good
vanity.
News. The good news is all the weapons were on loan lease. We're getting it back. And our dear President Trump has negotiated that we own half the minerals. So he turned this horrible tragedy of a war into a profit center, which is one of his unique gifts. I think we can all agree.
Right. Can I?
You need to cough up the cash. Your taxpayer dollars need to get sent to Ukraine. But Mark Cuban, who was a very wealthy man, I don't really have a plan for this, but we should definitely do more. Isn't that something? Quite the hot take. All right, folks, yesterday the Les Wexner audio dropped from his deposition, and it was quite the interesting deposition. I don't think it was bombshell, but he does make a lot of key points in it, financial points. I want to play clip nine for you, and this one was actually, I think, probably the most explosive part. Take a listen.
I think it was his experience at an industrial level, like working for a big company like Bear Stearns, and then he had done personal work for the Rothschild family in France.
Personal wealth management, essentially?
I don't know.
Okay. We've seen some reports that he would present himself as a bounty hunter, that he would find people's missing money. Do you recall him saying anything like that?
No. Well, specifically, I talked to Ellie de Rothschild, and so I mentioned that earlier. So he represented their whole family. So there had been a whole bunch of people. Most of them I never would have met, but I knew LA. I never met people, but there were people that called me that either insinuated or said they were knew Jeffrey through a financial relationship. And So, I mean, they could have been actors, but at the time, a guy calls me up. I'll give you an example. Just,
it's just
no, because I want you to understand this, because it's so confusing to me. He would say, like, I'm providing financial advice to the founders of Google. I'm providing financial advice to Jeff Bezos. I'm providing financial advice for the chief technologist at Google. And I'm in good company, because these are really smart guys with a lot of money. And you have to put yourself in the mindset of if my attorney said, you know, he was qualified to argue in front of the Supreme Court, I'd believe him. I didn't say to call the Supreme Court and say, tell me, is he really an attorney or did he do this?
All right, joining me to discuss Mel Kay. She's host of the Mel Kay Show, and she's also the author of the book, Americans Anonymous. And she's with us now to discuss the very latest that we've learned from the Epstein file dump. Mel, thank you for being here. You do an incredible job over on Rumble. So, folks, give it a like, subscribe to her page, The Mel Kay Show, and follow her on X. Mel Kay Show is where you could find her. All right, Mel, obviously, we did learn a little bit from the deposition, but I wouldn't say it's bombshell. Obviously, it was a little button up. We'll play that clip in a second, but I wanted to get to this one because obviously this is the Rothschild family connection that he's digging into here, and you're an expert on the front. So what do you make of this?
Again, I think that we have to really take into account the big picture here, which is that there is an international, supranational banking system that was created above our nation, above our presidents, above anyone that the people have elected. And frankly, you know, Les Wexner is saying right there that Jeffrey Epstein was a money handler, not just for the Rothschilds. And I don't know if he was bringing up Bezos and the Google guys or whatever as kind of if that was true or not. But whatever the case may be, this is exposing that the banking system is the real, I think, center of all of this. And this is why I think they are dragging their feet, because, you know, you have Wexner talking there, but also the relationship with J.P. Morgan and Jeffrey Epstein is very disturbing. And I think most people that had their lives destroyed during the 2008 crash that looked at all of these documents understand that Jeffrey Epstein knew that that was going to happen before it happened. Jeffrey Epstein had a very close relationship with many people, J.P. Morgan, not just Jess Staley. Jamie Dimon has said he's never met him, which seems to me impossible knowing that world in New York City and Manhattan and how it worked. But at the same time, I think the American people have to take a step back and look at the capture of the financial system, and that we have been living in a fraud, essentially, since the Federal Reserve that went on steroids after World War II. And I don't know why J.P. Morgan can get away with things over and over and over. You know, they didn't get charged in 2008. Then they were involved in the Madoff case. They had two counts. Nothing happened to them. They pay fines that mean nothing. And now we have 20 years of transactions that weren't marked as suspicious activity reports. And I think we really have to look into that and look into how they could go back after Jeffrey Epstein was arrested in 2019 and go from 89 or some low number of suspicious activity reports on Jeffrey Epstein's 20 years of accounts and then reclassify them so that there's 4,700 after his death, suspicious activity reports. You know, there was an executive order passed by Donald Trump, I think in the first term, if you don't recall, I believe that it was executive order regarding people that profited off of basically trafficking, sex trafficking and all of that. And it was about seizing assets. And here we are, and we're not seeing any one be held accountable at all on any of this. And it's just getting to a place where it's disturbing, to say the least.
Yeah, Mel, I was actually kind of surprised yesterday when there was an announcement made that the Epstein estate is dishing out potentially $35 to $25 million in settlements to victims. I didn't realize that they still have all those funds still in their control. And that to me just sounds insane that they would have the millions in their control right now to be dishing that out. Something I guess I have to look into, but I just didn't understand that they even had access to that. That's quite. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, and this is the least of it. There's already been over $300 million doled out by J.P. Morgan to the victims. I'm also told that 25 victims got paid off by men that were involved, and they signed NDAs. That came even from Ghislaine Maxwell's testimony. We have HSBC that has been, you know, in every crazy situation from drug running, and JP Morgan's been caught up in that too. You know, it's just, at what point do we, the people of the United States, look at the banks and the people that have I think pulled the rug multiple times for their own benefit with the banks, particularly in 2008 but before, and realize that we are all being played, looted, lied to by these same people, and yet, you know, we still have this infrastructure that we can now see because of the Epstein files, but we also know is totally rigged against the people of this country, against the taxpayers. And we have to analyze what is going on here and have our voices heard, because these banks should not be functioning above the nation. They should not have get out of jail free cards. There was an executive order, like I said, I think it was 1509, for anyone that participated, aided, you know, basically knew about sex trafficking or human trafficking would have their assets seized. I think it's time for people to start saying, well, when are the banks going to be held accountable? And do not forget that this doesn't just go back and deal with Jeffrey Epstein. This is many, many, many times, including the rigging of gold and silver, the boat that was found that supposedly belonged to J.P. Morgan. I mean, I just don't know how many decades we can deal with a class of people that are somehow aligned with the supranational infrastructure that Jeffrey Epstein was one of the fulcrums of, literally running above us. And, you know, another thing that people have to know is that a lot of this International Organization Immunity Act I keep yelling about and telling people they have to look at it and rescind it also protects a lot of things that Jeffrey Epstein was involved in. It is clear that Jeffrey Epstein helped set up the Clinton Global Initiative. He also looks like it was very obvious that he worked in depth with the Gates Foundation. And now we find out that he was in touch with DARPA, which should terrify everyone, because he's a transhumanist eugenicist trying to meld man and machine with whatever experiments he's doing. So, I mean, there's a supranational military-grade intelligence community that's linked to the international banks running above the United States of America that the people have had zero you know, accountability for these people. And I think that it's time that we say enough's enough. Our debt is not our debt. Our debt is the looting of the people of this country for endless wars for profit, for all of this stuff. And it, a lot of times it goes right back to J.P. Morgan Chase, and they're never held accountable. What do they care about $11 billion, you know, fine? But these people, these bankers, they're never held accountable. And right now, that's who I think they're protecting. You saw Nancy Mace say you wouldn't believe the names. I think the whole financial system would fall apart. Well, let's get to it.
Yeah, that's one risk I'm willing to jump on board with, of course. Mel, by the way, folks, if you're just jumping on right now, we're with Mel Kay right now, host of the Mel Kay Show. You can find her on Twitter at Mel Kay Show. Mel, I want to get to that email you were just talking about, because you found this and sent this my way. It's an email between Jeffrey Epstein and Tom Prisker. And it says, Tom Prisker is apparently saying, "I'm seeing DARPA lady tonight." And then Jeffrey Epstein responds by saying, "Ask her if we can NSA code breaking, that signal processing, to work on brain." This is kind of crazy. Break this down, because I don't know exactly what this means, but this definitely means then that Jeffrey Epstein, if I'm reading this correctly, is somehow, some way trying to figure out if he could, I don't know what NSA coding means, but he's trying to get into the DARPA information that they have. What's going on in this email?
Well, what he's saying is he wants to get the DARPA information on manipulating brains and minds through MKUltra-esque technology that they've been developing since Operation Paperclip, since the creation. Look, it says to work, NSA code breaking, to work on brain actinity. I don't know what that means. I think it's acuity. I don't know. But intracellular deception. Okay?
Yeah.
This is mind wars. This is right out of that disturbing NATO document, the cognitive warfare battle for your brain document I've been telling everyone about since 2020. This is him saying we can hack people's brains and manipulate humans. I want that information from signal intelligence. There's also another one with Kathy Ruemmler saying that he's meeting with the head of DARPA. DARPA, if people do not know, is essentially every experiment that you think sounds too outlandish, including the creation of LifeLog, which became Facebook, of Google, of all of this spying, all of this manipulation of minds with technology and whatever nanotechnology as well that he funded at Harvard with Dr. Lieber, who got a slap on the wrist. But this, again, he was funding the Human Genome Project. He was funding all kinds of eugenic stuff, all kinds of brain manipulation. Like, you have to understand that is happening at DARPA, and DARPA is funded by InQtel, which is the CIA's essentially hedge fund. And all of this money is coming from us. I mean, they're grants that go there. Mm-hmm. And a lot of the stuff they're doing is to manipulate the minds of individual citizens and groups of people to cause chaos, to be a battle of the mind wars. From that goes all the way back to Colonel Aquino, the Satanist that somehow ran the psychological division of the U.S. Army during past World War II, straight into MK Ultra becoming a project of the United States military, a Satanist that wrote Mind Wars. And Mind Wars has been slowly but surely evolving over the years to where, you know, NATO's putting out a whole document about how they can manipulate people's brains remotely and turn them into Manchurian candidate, whatever, assassins or mm-hmm. I mean, all I'm saying is he was very involved in the transhumanist manipulation of minds, of brains, for their own good. This is terrifying when you then hear people like Noah Harari talk about, that COVID was when the humans decided that they would allow, track and trace surveillance under the skin. We know back to Epstein's talk with Bannon that he was on the Trilateral Commission. He worked with the Rockefeller Foundation. He was on the Council of Foreign Relations. And then also some kind of weird group called the Zodiac group that Paul Volcker, and these are lifetime memberships on the Zodiac group, which apparently he was on with Paul Volcker, who used to be the head of the Fed and has sat on the board of the Bank of International Settlements, which I say we need to take their immunity away. The Bank of International Settlements, the World Bank, the IMF, and all of these tentacles that are all protected, including the EU, and start looking at where all this money has gone and to whom, because to me it seems like, you know, they're not hiding it. And these emails are the place to start. And that's the biggest problem, is the financial crimes were easily able to be prosecuted already, and they haven't been. And I don't know when the financial crimes are going to be looked at finally, but it looks like those are the people that are being protected, are the people that have been manipulating our nation from above by using financial means, endless wars for profit, trafficking of humans, drugs, weapons, and Jeffrey Epstein's in the middle of it all. So who else is in the middle of it all? And I think it's time that some of these bankers that destroyed the country multiple times and destroyed millions of lives in 2008, and Eric Holder let them off with a slap on the wrist because they were too big to fail, so we bailed out the banks and consolidated. I just think the people have to get together and realize that we are all on the same team, and we are fighting something that's supranational, mm-hmm. and that nobody on Wall Street or D.C. Seems like they want to tackle.
Yeah. Well, Mel, I mean, that's one of the key elements in all of this. And by the way, I think it was a typo in that email, because it nothing's coming up when I type in that. It corrects.
No, I think it's acuity. I think it's acuity. He spelled wrong a lot of times. Remember, he didn't go to college, so maybe he's not a great speller. He got all those jobs at Bear Stearns. I mean, it's just looking more and more like this is the international intelligence community that was built above our nations, that's in tandem with MI6 and Mossad and all of them. I think that the CIA, USAID, all of these groups are post-World War II, a rogue State Department that the Dulles brothers created to function above our government, above the people. I mean, we don't even register right now in D.C. The people of the United States of America, not our vote, not our voices, not our what we want for this nation. It is not considered at all. And you know, the lawfare people keep getting away with manipulating law to stop the will of the people and subvert us. The NGOs are doing it to subvert us and stop the people. But the banks, more than anything, everything else that they work for. Both, I believe all these intelligence agencies work for that international banking system. Them more than anyone have never been held accountable since we were betrayed with the Federal Reserve. And I think it's time that we say, look, Epstein was clearly at the highest level of banking, of, I don't know, technology, brain interface, eugenics, COVID. I mean, this all goes to the money. And if the people don't demand that this be investigated on that level, then this nothing's going to change.
Yeah, nothing is going to change. And Mel, we're still pushing for accountability. So hopefully that comes eventually. Who would have known that the UK was going to be the first one to make an arrest in the Epstein file dump? And that's just
I don't think they have a choice. It should have happened 15 years ago.
Well, yeah, you know? I mean, you can only cover it up for so much time, I guess, but it's been so frustrating to sit back and watch. Mel Kay, you do a great job hosting the Mel Kay Show. Folks, give her a follow on Rumble. That's the Mel Kay Show. She's also the author of Americans Anonymous. And then on X, follow her as well. You drop all these great gems, Mel, and I always become a little bit smarter when I read your posts. So I appreciate that. Follow her on X, Mel Kay Show, where you could find her. Mel, thank you for all the incredible work you're doing. We appreciate you. So thank you.
Okay, you too. Thank you so much. Appreciate it.
All right, folks, we got a lot going on still. So buckle up. I know Alex is going to be starting up next in just a little bit. Actually, it's going to be a very, very big show on the Alex Jones Show. So you're going to stay put there. I don't know. There's this clip going around. And I'll play it quickly. This is clip 10. And it had me, because they obviously, and you've seen it because it's a viral clip. Les Wexner is being threatened, what appears to be threatened, by an attorney who's sitting next to him during a deposition. But you don't hear what's said prior to all of this. I want to play clip 10 for you so you can hear how it even started in the first place. Take a listen.
Jeff said people could be walking out with forks and spoons. I said, gee, that's a good idea. We ought to have an inventory. But then there was I hired a lady to be like the house manager who had run the U.S. Embassy in Rome. And she said, yeah, I know how to do this. And I said, well, why don't we keep inventories of stuff? And she said, well, yeah, I could do that. So she did that as kind of a puny example. But I wouldn't have had the idea. But then all the things were inventoried. That wasn't work for me or Jeffrey. It was just regularly done.
Answer the question.
Okay.
A discrete question on a different topic. Mm.
So it's interesting when you hear him lay that out, of course, and I think people have been clipping it, so you haven't heard the front. But again, obviously he was onto something, and that's why the attorney said that. How come we don't know who that lawyer is? I have not seen the name of the lawyer. I've not heard anyone ask any questions. I mean, it's quite clear, it sounds like, the threat. But obviously, that could be a joke. But folks, we're talking Epstein here. All right, guys, don't go anywhere. We have a jam-packed program for you for the rest of the day. Obviously, the Alex Jones Show starts next. So don't go anywhere. In the meantime, though, if you're going to go somewhere, head on over to thealexjonesstore.com right now. It's the final day to enter into that contest. Every single dollar you spend, you get 100 entries at thealexjonesstore.com.
Today and tomorrow, the last days to get 100 times X entries into the amazing raffle. It only happens every few months where both of the offerings of the Shelby Mustang and the awesome Ford off-road truck, 100X for every dollar you spend on the store, put into the raffle, you get put in for just the next 2 days, is all that's left, to get both vehicles. There's a time where there's a crossover for 1 week. That ends tomorrow. Every order in the site for a very limited time, it's probably just last throughout the weekend, I'm told, is this hat. And this is a classic design that I put out on InfoWars like 20 years ago. I noticed everybody else copied it, which is cool. I just go, why don't we have that classic design back? So they brought it back, and it's a ring of, 13 stars around 1776. And it's simple, it's clean, and a leftist probably won't kill you or murder you for it. You know, if you have like a MAGA or InfoWars hat, that's a real adventure. This is just at the airport or wherever, hey, patriots know. And it's just exciting, spreads the word. So every order, on top of the sales that are already there, for a limited time, it's a free 1776 ball cap at thealexjonesstore.com. And if you're going to buy anything on the store, become a VIP for $30 a month. You can cancel any time for free. Instantly, you get $40 to spend each month. The minute you click that button for $30, you get $40 to spend. Special deals, special offers, special sales, top everything. So anybody buying anything should be a VIP. And it's really no commitment. You just get better deals. Cancel any time for free. One click in your profile. Everyone should be a VIP. Also, sometimes stuff runs out and sells out. You don't want that to happen? Become a subscriber. Cancel anytime. They hold it back for you at the biggest discounts as well. Become a VIP. Become a subscriber. But regardless, share the live feeds of the show. Tell folks about those local AM and FM stations, cable stations, because that's how we reach the people and that's how we change the world. The whole globalist house of cards is coming down. We've been vindicated. You've been vindicated. Nothing's going to stop that. Stay with us. Massive guests straight ahead.